Hello?
Hey, B, it's Mom. Hey, well, y'all really been in the news lately. Berkeley. Oh, Berkeley's the headliner with all the rain and all the protests. My heavens, I worried about you getting home from work.
I know, we had the protests, and then we had what they've been calling the hella storm. It wasn't that bad, but yeah.
Golly, well, are the protests over?
No, there was a big march yesterday, and they may keep going.
Wow.
But
well, we've had some here in Dallas, but y'all have really had them.
We have, and I was thinking that you know, a topic like, you know, taking on the whole cause behind the protests, you know, the Michael Brown, the Eric Garner killings and the verdicts is a little bit above our scope. But I did think that the root of what's causing them is something that you would have unique insight to, that sense of what drives people to take to the streets, because it's that kind of sense of injustice.
And yeah.
And what I was thinking about is when it is an injustice, that it is something that is not an A to B thing. It's not, I didn't get my way, or this didn't come through. It's systemic. So in the case of, you know, these police killings, you have, you know, racial inequality, you have police brutality, you have judicial inequality, and it just keeps going up the line. And I think that's what leads to that feeling of just hopelessness, because it is so systemic in scope.
Yeah, and how do you stop it? The thing, though, that I do think about, and you know, protests, they're protesting an injustice, and my hope is it's to move things forward, that an injustice will not happen again, because what you have to understand is once an injustice has occurred, you can't undo an injustice. It's still there.
I agree.
Can't right an injustice. The only thing you can do is work to make things happen where injustice will not happen again.
And I think that's also the root of the problem. I mean, these two events were so horrific, and there's just nothing that can be done to fix them. And so, yeah, the only thing you can kind of do is look to the future and how to have this not happen. Because you can't,
yeah.
It's almost impossible to get justice for something as unjust as this, because it is so, it's on so many levels. And it's,
yeah,
it's,
and we always find that, you know, we feel an injustice when we see something happen that should not have happened. And so then we go back to saying, and why did it happen? And, you know, I think the whys in this, people are saying, you know, it's going back to police brutality and all that kind of stuff. But even in our personal life, when we face an injustice, mm-hmm. It's really interesting. When we face an injustice, the first thing we want to do is blame somebody.
Yes.
We want to blame. It is their, you know, it's their fault this happened to me, or, you know, on a personal level, we want to blame. And, you know, there's a feeling of, you know, blaming kind of takes the responsibility off of us.
Mm-hmm.
But when we blame, we give away our sense of control over what we can do about it at the same time. So in blaming, we give away what we need to do at the time in the present.
And I think that's also indicative of the fact that when you have some unjust situation, that there's never a resolution that can happen. There's no immediate resolution. There's no instant way to feel better. That you have to start reframing it toward the future. In your personal life and in what's happening now And I think that's very unnatural. And I think that brings on sort of what makes us so upset. It's very unnatural as people, and especially in this day and age, to be able to think or to project further out than, you know, your immediate future. You know, you have to start looking way down the line in order to kind of see any type of way out or solution.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always want to write an injustice.
Oh, I do too.
That's just the way I am. I cannot stand an injustice. I just want to write it, and I want to fight for it and go, I can't believe that happened, and what are we going to do about
absolutely.
It? And, you know, injustice just drives me crazy. And so sometimes I have to stop myself and say, wait a minute, am I giving this too much of my time and energy when I could be doing something more productive to keep it from happening again? You know, you know how you want to get into that thing about the revenge, seek revenge on the person who caused the injustice?
Exactly.
I think that's a natural human response. But seeking revenge doesn't, it really, you know, it might feel good at the moment, but it really doesn't solve the problem.
And that's, kind of, that's the other thing, too, when things are unjust or whatever, is how just all-consuming it can be. And I had an incident recently, and I remember it was definitely on my mind, and I thought maybe I wasn't... that I was doing okay with it, that I was managing and not, you know, letting it consume me. And we were at dinner, and Dara was just... looked at me like, are you all right there? Because I was totally zoned out. I was replaying conversations that I wanted to have in my head.
Oh, I wish I had
said
it. Yeah,
exactly that. I should have done this. I should have done that. And I was totally lost. I was totally lost in my head and did not even realize it.
And then you miss the moment
exactly.
of what you could be enjoying.
Exactly. And it just totally consumed me.
Yeah, isn't that funny how, and we get into this, how dare them say that to me? How dare them do that to me? And then we go into, I wish I'd said, you know, I wish I'd done that. It's kind of like, you know, at night, if you lie there and you just think about your tongue and just think about your tongue, honey, your tongue will get so big, you'll choke on it. Because you just give it all your attention.
Yeah.
You know, if your big toe's hurting and you sit there and concentrate, my big toe's hurting, I mean, you'll want to chop it off by, you know, in 2 hours because it'll hurt even more. Because what we concentrate on, we give our soul attention to, where sometimes letting go of something, it'll dissipate by itself. You know, what we give our attention to grows and grows and grows. You know, you'll think, God, I wish I'd said that. Oh, I tell you what, the next time I talk to them, I'm going to say, well, you know, I'm going to do that. And then you'll talk to them and say, well, you'll have a miserable day or night thinking about it. Next time you see them, it's like, how's your day? I had the best day. And that really pisses you off that they moved on, they were happy, but you concentrated on it.
I know. And it's again, it's that problem of, it sounds so easy to just let it go or whatever, but it's not, because it's not an on and off switch.
No.
And I think that's what's so hard to deal with, is you can make the decision that, you know what, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to let this consume me, but it still keeps creeping back. And it's, you almost have to look at that whole letting go thing is, it's just stepping down gradually. It's a gradual deceleration of how much time you're giving it.
And I always, you know, when you say let it go, I always want to say, well, who am I going to let it go to? Who am I going to give it to?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I can't just let it go. I've got to give it to somebody. I think that's why we women get into all our gossiping. We're going to let go of an injustice somebody did to us, but we're going to make sure all our friends know about it so they'll go take care of it for us.
I'm totally guilty of that. When something like that happens, I do feel like my inclination is to go tell people, this person's horrible, this happened.
Well, you want to rally everybody on your side and make sure they hate that other person. And with men and women, it's even funnier. You know, if a woman's mad at somebody, you won't believe it, but, you know, you'll tell your husband, you won't believe what she said to me, or you won't believe what she said about me. You'll be in the grocery store, and if your husband speaks to that woman, you won't speak to him for 4 or 5 months. You know, you want everybody to agree with the injustice that's been done by you, protect you, take your side, and hate the other person. You know, that's just human nature. But does it solve the problem? Absolutely not.
No.
And, you know, the hard part about this is the only answer to it is to forgive the other person for the injustice they caused you. Because forgiveness is not for the person who did the injustice to you. Forgiveness is for yourself.
Yeah.
So you don't worry about it anymore. That's why forgiveness is so hard. You have to say, you know, okay, they did me wrong. It was terrible, horrible, no good.
Seems impossible. And I think that's what makes it
parents.
So hard. Exactly. I mean, it's...
Think about those parents.
It's just, I mean, it's unfathomable.
Oh, yeah. And to forgive the people who killed their sons, you think about it, to forgive, you have to let go of that wrong. But I do think to forgive, you have to let go of the wrong, but first you have to define the wrong, and you have to say, it was wrong, and what they did was terrible, horrible, no good, and very bad.
I think that's an excellent point. I think we forget sometimes that in forgiveness, you don't have to accept what happened, or accept what they did.
No, if you accept it, you don't have to forgive. If you accept it, you're okay with it. So you have to know, I don't accept this. It is terrible, horrible, no good, very bad, and I'm not willing to stay in this miserable place. Therefore, I let go of the wrong. Does that make sense?
It does, and it takes you from being victimized to now having the higher moral authority.
Exactly. You know that old saying, there are no victims, only volunteers?
Yeah.
Because you can move yourself from the victim to forgiving, letting go, and saying, I refuse to let that person have this much power over me any further. Now, how those parents are going to do it,
I don't know.
But to me, I still go back to the old saying, I'd rather be happy than right.
Yeah, because you can't, a lot of times you just can't have both.
No, you can't have both. Sometimes you've got to be, you know, they did me, I'm sorry, Dexter is snoring so loud, but can you hear me?
Barely, he's drowning you out a little bit.
Oh my God, he's snoring so loud. I have to forgive him every night for waking me up at 2:30 or 3 in the morning. You know? But I forgive him and love him and going to keep this Boston Terrier. But anyway, well, I hope the protest I feel like, Butler, I hate for them to keep protesting and keep reliving it. And I agree they have a right to voice their opinion.
And it's nice to see it. It's nice to see it now, not just in Berkeley. That we're seeing it more widespread across the country. And if the idea is to make a lasting change, then that's how it needs to be.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one thing we can do is volunteer more in maybe in a proactive way. I volunteer at our police department. Of course, you know, we don't have that much crime around here, but I volunteer to help with different things just so I can stay in touch and kind of be in the know about the way things are handled.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the things that I volunteer for, you know, I help with the marathon run, which I was down there this morning and stuff like that. But, you know, the more you can volunteer and get out of yourself and just think that you're helping this world, making this world a better place, I think it lessens our anger about things that are going on, because we're moving and helping others. And sometimes I think when we're doing that, the joy overrides the anger that we feel about other things.
It's that it helps take you out of yourself for a little bit.
Yeah. And I tell you what, if I'm not doing something and I'm thinking about myself, I get so sick of myself. Ooh, I can't stand it.
They call a scene, I call disaster. Down here, the kids grow up fast, they're scared. It's killing a bone.